Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Here's the podcast for Live the Promise. Enjoy the conversation.
It's time for the Artist Corner, where you'll hear from some of your favorite artists about their faith.
Then I felt like the Lord said, you know, it doesn't matter what brings you to my word, because when you go there, you're going to be filled and you're going to learn. And I've been learning.
Their families.
We are in ministry as an entire family. And what I mean by that is my wife and I have decided to start homeschooling our children so that the distance wouldn't have to be so great when I go on tour.
Their music.
I love the truth of the first line. What in the world is this that you have laid down your life?
And the stories behind the songs.
How do you pick the stories that you wind up writing songs inspired by? And I feel like those stories pick me.
And now, the Artist's Corner on Live the Promise. Here's Susie Larson.
Thanks so much for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. What an exciting day. We've got Laura Story in studio for this edition of Artist's Corner. Let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Laura Story is a Grammy and Dove Award-winning artist, speaker, songwriter, author, and worship leader. She's on staff at Perimeter Church outside of Atlanta, Georgia, and lives with her husband, Martin, and their three children. Her latest project, Open Hands, released on March 3rd. Dear Laura, not only welcome to the show, but welcome in studio. So good to have you.
No, it's great being here with you. I do so many of these things on the phone. It's nice to be with real people.
Indeed. And there's something about a conversation when you're physically present with each other, you know?
I know.
If they could see your funky sweatshirt and your cool earrings, they would love it.
Funky sweatshirt, which is honestly probably a little like, it's not quite as much as I should have brought here to Minneapolis.
Yeah, it's okay. This is springtime. I don't know what you're talking about here.
Oh,
but
wow.
No,
it is cold out
here. It is. Well, Laura, we love to start the conversation talking scripture every day. And whether you either have a life verse or just one you've been pondering and marinating in, is there any verse you think of these days?
I'd say the past couple of years that I've really been diving into is Ephesians 2, that we were dead in sin, but God, being rich in mercy, you know, made us alive in Christ. And but verse 10 of that is the one that I've been gravitating more towards. It just talks about that you are the workmanship. We are Christ's handiwork, created for good deeds that he has prepared before in advance that we might walk in. And just this idea that we are created by God, but not just to go out and just do random stuff. The fact that he has gone before us and has purpose that he's already designed for our lives. I love not just reflecting on that, but any chance I get reminding people of that, especially women's events I get to do, reminding that God created you, he knows you intimately, and he created you for a purpose. And so find hope in that.
Indeed. That word masterpiece translates several ways, but one of the ways is poetry. Mm-hmm. We're his poetry, and there's a rhythm to his poetry. And I think if we could learn to live in that rhythm, the ebb and the flow of it, and realize we have nothing to prove but just him to live for, I don't know, I think life might be more enjoyable too. You know?
Oh, I totally agree. Hmm. Or even for someone to believe that they are God's Shakespearean sonnet. That they are that, and that he takes great delight in each one of us.
So great. Well, I'd love to know a little bit how you came to Christ, a little backstory in your faith journey. Love that.
So I grew up in the church, and I remember when I was 10 years old, we had an evangelist come to our church, and we had a week-long, you know, kind of series of teaching, I guess a revival is what we would have called it. And I remember hearing this story, you know, that all of us who are believers would know as the gospel. But for some reason, I was hearing it for the first time, and I was hearing about who I really was, and the sin that I had, and the fact that Jesus came to carry the burden of that sin and to die and pay the debt of that sin, and how I had offended God. And you know, you hear all those big words like sanctification and, you know, propitiation and all that. And of course, didn't understand any of that. But I knew enough even as a 10-year-old to know that I just wasn't a very good kid. I was a middle child and just kind of getting in trouble, you know, always goofy class clown. And so it didn't surprise me, you know, that I was being called a sinner. A lot of people, you know, might take offense to that term. Yeah. I just kind of knew that I was. So I was just not a great kid anyway.
You're talking to me.
Yeah. So that I understood. And when I heard about what Jesus had done, the fact that he had given his very life to pay for my sin, that I might know the Father, that I might spend eternity in heaven, that just made sense, that I not only would accept that free gift of grace, but that I would spend the rest of my life telling others about it. That's what I do now, and it makes sense that I would do that because there is this overwhelming sense of gratitude when we come face to face with what Jesus has done for us, the story of the gospel. It makes sense that we would spend the rest of our lives telling others about it.
All right. Good word. And the thing that's so amazing is we get heaven and his presence and his promises, mm-hmm. too. It's scandalous when we stop and think about it.
Yeah.
You know?
And so. I know it's tough sometimes in a culture where tolerance is prized so high above all things. It's hard sometimes to talk about the bad news.
Mm-hmm.
But the scriptures teach us that the bad news is not only that it's true, it's necessary in us understanding the good news.
Indeed.
And the good news is so much sweeter
once
we see where we have come from and what God has brought us out.
I got my arms in the air. Amen. Amen. I love that. Let's talk for a bit when you first learned you could sing, when you first got a sense of the call of God in your life that way.
Oh, man, that's a great question because I really didn't grow up singing.
You know,
every
wow.
now and then I hear about most of my artist friends, you know, grew up, you know, singing into the mirror, like using their hairbrush as a microphone. I never really did anything like that. I started taking piano lessons when I was 6. And when I was 10 years old, we had a string program at our local elementary school. And I started playing string bass. I loved playing in the orchestra and played on in high school and college. And I've always loved orchestral music. And in college began to, you know, the more serious I got about my faith, the more Christianity became not just like a part of my life, but the very core of who I am. I began to wonder, okay, now what does all this music stuff have to do with this calling that I'm sensing, you know, God placing on my life? And I began just kind of as a fluke. I had some friends that were songwriters, and I thought, well, I could try this. And it was just like journaling to music. And I wrote a few songs, and then had the, you know, the boldness to share it with someone. And at first, I shared it with this band, and there was a girl in the band that sang the songs. Well, ended up the girl quit, and the guys were like, well, you're up. You're the only other girl.
By default is how I got the call.
Yeah.
I
tell all that to say, you know, God doesn't always call us to that thing that we feel really comfortable
Amen.
Doing.
Very true.
But he always, I've heard it said before, he doesn't always call the equipped, but he always equips the called.
Yeah.
And I feel like any amount of, you know, timidity that I had in entering into this whole solo career, it was used by God to show me it's not that my voice is so great and that I'm really worthy of being on the radio. It's that he's worthy of us saying, God, here's my life. Use it as you will.
Amen. We're going to play, as I said, some songs off of your new album. But before we do that, one last question, just because many know you for the song Blessings. And I think everybody relates to that because most of us are walking around with broken hearts to some degree. And mm-hmm. Stephen Arterburn was on the show a few weeks ago, and he said one of the plagues and epidemics of the church, or the Christian church, is unresolved grief. You know, what we're walking through, you know, these unresolved losses, and we mm-hmm. kind of stuff them, but they affect our soul and our health.
Yeah.
And you were just talking about finding Christ and finding even a blessing of God in the brokenhearted parts of the story. We've talked just about not only that song, but the impact, what you've heard from people, and really the inspiration as far as what brought you to that place.
Yeah, and that's so true. I feel like for some reason along the way we picked up this idea that as Christians, if we don't have a smile on our face, then we're, you know, giving God a bad name or something.
Mm-hmm.
But man, if you look at the Psalms, you see a completely different story. You see a guy like David who is willing to show, my heart is broken. Where are you, God? How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? And I feel like how I began to walk that road of vulnerability or honesty about my grief is, well, first of all, some of us go through grief that's so obvious and so debilitating that you can't keep the smile on your face.
Yeah.
And for us, my husband Martin and I have been married for 12 years, and within the first 2 years of our marriage, Martin was diagnosed with a brain tumor. And that is hard news at any time in a marriage, but especially as newlyweds. We were kind of stunned by it. And our marriage started off with this brain surgery that Martin needed. And what was supposed to be about 5 days in the hospital ended up being about 3 months in the hospital. And he finally was discharged. And we were very thankful that he lived through the whole thing. But there were disabilities that kind of ensued due to the tumor and the surgery that really altered our lives and altered his life specifically. And he lives with a vision deficit and a memory deficit, which is a challenge, and not just a challenge logistically, as he had to kind of learn to do life differently in light of these disabilities. It's been a challenge spiritually, because we both grew up, you know, believing that God's all powerful, believing that God's all loving. And it was tough for us for a while to reconcile why God would allow such brokenness in the lives of the children that he loves.
Boy, so good. We're going to pause here and take a break. When we come back, we're going to hear songs from Laura's brand new album. Also, we're going to talk about her amazing book, so raw and honest and so important. It's titled When God Doesn't Fix It, Lessons You Never Wanted to Learn, Truths You Can't Live Without. We've got, a few copies, giveaway copies of Laura's album. We'll talk more about that on the other side. Don't go away. More great music and stories with Laura Story.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Live the Promise.
Mighty in the battle, majesty be lifted high.
Hope you're having a great day today. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. It's an artist corner on Live the Promise. You know, we do these every once in a while. We get to talk to some of the great artists of our time, and we hear the backstories behind the songs. We have Laura Story in studio today, celebrating the release of her brand new album, Open Hands. We'll play some of the songs off of that album. Also drawing content from her book, When God Doesn't Fix It. Really powerful book. Lessons you never wanted to learn. Truths you can't live without. Let's play Open Hands here in a moment, Laura. Give us a little just kind of context, if you would, for that song.
Yeah. I am a worship leader. I've been at Perimeter Church for about 12 years now, and I was thinking one Sunday about, you know, the people who come in and just their posture of worship. I am at a Presbyterian church, so not a whole lot of hand raising, but every now and then it's a little bit more of a charismatic Presbyterian church than you would expect. But I was thinking one day about, you know, as people are raising their hands in worship, rarely do you see them clenching their fists. Usually it's this, you know, palms raised, open hands. But all too often when I enter into worshiping God, I'm still holding something back. You know, and I was thinking about the posture that the Lord truly desires in worship really is a posture of surrender. It's not just saying, God, I think you're great. God, I think you're wonderful. It's saying, God, I think you're great, so I will trust you with my life. So I will trust you with even the hard thing I'm going through right now, believing that you care, but also believe you are capable to handle this. And so Open Hands is about, it's more than just a posture of worship. It's about living a lifestyle of saying, God, I trust you with everything in my life.
Let's listen in.
This life you gave, our greatest prayer, our act of faith, is an open hand, Lord, have your way. Take it all, every hope, every dream, every plan. Take it all, every weight, all the shame.
fantastic, Laura. Thank you. We're talking to Laura Story today. We've got her in studio celebrating the release of her brand new album, Open Hands. You know, I watched an interview online with you, and you were talking about your husband's brain tumor and the idea that when God doesn't fix things, that he's not exactly tied to our plan, but we're tied to his plan, and his plan is good, even though we don't always see it. Maybe speak to that person who's right now living in the funk of, this is not what I thought would happen. This isn't what I signed up for. You hear people say that a lot. What word of encouragement can you have for that person listening who feels like their life's just been upended?
Most people live there, you know, with something. Everyone can probably identify some way that their life looks different than they expected, or maybe God hasn't answered their prayer the way that they think he should or in the time frame that they expected. But the truth is the very essence of faith is trusting him even when he's not doing things the way that we think he should. Like, I think about prayer in and of itself. It's not so much trying to conform the will of God to our plans as much as it is him conforming us and our desires and our expectations to his will. Mm-hmm. And prayer is that conversation where we come before the Lord and he allows us to be part of his plans. It's I don't really understand it, but I know that the deeper issue is not necessarily whether God's doing it our way or not. It's whether we've come to a place where we acknowledge that he is God. He is a better plan maker than I am. Even when I don't understand his ways, I love that his word tells me, you're not going to understand my ways. They're higher than yours. It just is that way. But I trust God enough because I've seen that he's been faithful to me in the past. And so I'd say for anyone that's struggling to trust him right now, I would say, first of all, that's okay. You know, the Bible says we don't have to have big faith. We can have faith the size of a mustard seed. It's having small faith in a big God and believing that he is enough even in the midst of our hardest life situations.
Story is far from over, and he's at work in ways we cannot see. So the song You Came Running, again, this one you talk about, as I just did some just kind of looking at you online and reading up, and I love this. You said he's a God with a pursuing love, a God with an enduring passion. Hmm. And when you think about the prodigal story, so often we do focus on the one who squandered. But, the other prodigal is the one who stayed home and never apprehended the best of what God has. And I think both of those, many, many people fall in one of those two camps, and they're mad about it. You know, the guy that's not apprehending the promises is feeling like, why don't I get some of this stuff? And the other feels like, I'm not going to get it, so I'm going to take it from you, God. Yeah. And coming to that place of realizing he is a good, good father, and he's always looking out for us. I want you to set that song up, if you would, before we listen.
Man, that's a great point, because there's grace enough for the Pharisee and the sinner.
Indeed.
You know, it's for both. And I think sometimes about the setting of him telling that story. You know, and these were very religious people who had a very high view of God, you know, God in all of his majesty and all of his dignity. And I wonder what they were thinking when they got to the part of the story where the God of the universe, you know, this father figure, sees the sinner, and rather than just standing up regally for him to come and grovel at his feet, God actually, you kind of picture him like picking up his robe, and he takes off running in the direction of the sinner.
It's amazing.
It's amazing that it's a God who, in all of his dignity, and all of his majesty, runs toward the sinner. And that's pursuing love. That's amazing grace.
Indeed. Let's listen in. You Came Running from Laura Story.
Dreams dashed on a rocky shore, and the plans I had made came crashing to the floor. Heartbreak on this winding road, and the pieces I had gathered couldn't heal up on their own. But the God of all comfort and the
with Laura Story in a moment.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Live the Promise. You're listening to an encore presentation of Live the Promise.
Hope you're having a great day. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. It's another Artist Corner. Laura Story's in studio with us today. In the book, you talk about some of the myths that we believe about God. One of the things that I'd said at a conference recently that God has just taught me coming through a major significant storm was that the storms reveal the lies we believe and the truths we need. And I feel like when you talk about this myth that we believe that this trial is because God doesn't like me, there's times where we get in these storms and what emerges is the truth. What's not moving is God's love and his promise. And we do have pretense pre-storm at times. Yes. I think, our formula, if it works, we think it should work for everybody. It's only working for a moment until the storm. And then you realize it doesn't work anymore. And you dispel some of the myths about God. Maybe just speak to a couple of those, if you would, of things you learned in the fiercest battle that are actually true about God or untruths that we tend to believe that are really to our own detriment.
It's the way that the culture, what the culture tells us is true. It's like, if you can't feel God in the midst of your trial, then he must not be there. He must have abandoned you.
But because of your sin.
Yeah, because of your sin.
Yeah.
Or because of his apathy.
Mm-hmm.
Either way, we believe that he's not an enduring God and a persevering God. He calls us his children. I have three little ones at home, which has really helped me see what that really means. And if I, a very, very imperfect parent, would never run out and abandon my kids, how much more would a perfect God not run out and abandon me?
Amen.
And there are times that we do feel alone in the midst of it, whether it's because of our sin or whatever situation. But God in his word tells us the exact opposite. I mean, if you look through the scriptures and see how many times he uses the phrase, I will always be with you. He says, when you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. The waves will not overcome you. And he doesn't say if you pass through the waters, if you walk through the fire. He always says when. And it's this preparation for us to know that there will be times in life that will be hard. There will be times in life that we feel alone. But the truth that we know from his word is that we never are alone. He is always with us and he's always carrying us.
Boy, he's a good God. So this song, Extraordinary, off of your album, Open Hands, what can you tell us about this one?
It's about that very thing we were talking about, feeling alone. And there's so many women out there. The more events I do, the theme that I hear so much from women is they feel forgotten. And more than that, they feel unloved. And maybe it's a hard marriage they're in. Maybe it's kind of the residual effects from a father wound that they have. But what I'm always wanting to tell, and they're asking, does God really love me? Does God really love me? And I always want to say, look at the cross. look at what Jesus did. I can't imagine a greater proclamation of love for someone than sending your only son, your very son, your perfect son, to a cross to die, so that God could have a relationship with me. And that's what reminds me, not just that he loves me, but he likes me. He will rejoice over me with singing. He delights in me. I am that sheep that he left the 99 to come after me. And so it's just a reminder of how much our Heavenly Father truly loves us.
Beautiful. Let's listen to Extraordinary.
No eye has ever seen, no ear has ever heard, the fullness of your love, the kindness undeserved, this mystery of grace, I cannot comprehend, that you would call me child, that you would call me friend.
Wow, another great song from Laura Story. We've got her in studio today celebrating the release of her album, Open Hands, also talking about her book, When God Doesn't Fix It. Got a couple more songs we want to squeeze in today. Before we do that, though, I want to ask you, when you think about, you know, you said early on in your marriage, your husband was diagnosed with this brain tumor and he's still dealing with repercussions of it. How do you think you're different, Laura, because of that storm? I mean, what do you suppose has changed in your perspective of life, of faith, of God, because you've had to walk through this storm?
I literally could take your entire show telling you everything that we have learned, man. You know, when you go through any sort of health trial, the first lesson you learn is that health isn't something that's promised to us. You know, no one ever thinks that they're going to have a health issue, but you realize how precious life is and how every morning that I wake up and breathe air in my lungs and can get out of my bed by myself, that is a good day. That is more than I deserve. And so learning how precious life is, I tell you, another thing we learned is what church is supposed to be. Yeah, I think it went from being a place that we attended and worshiped to the body of Christ around us that was carrying us through the trials. You know, rather than a place that we go, it was a group of people that came to us bearing casseroles at our doorstep. You know, when we were so in need, falling into the arms of the church and showing us that need isn't necessarily a bad thing. I feel like in our culture, you know, there's this real emphasis on being independent and self-sufficient. And what we learned really early on with this health issue is that we are not. We are not either of those, and I can't even pretend to be. And now, you know, so we live now, Martin's still with his disabilities, and we have three young kids, and we're still a mess. But what we're finding is the more that we're willing to admit how much of a mess we are, that's when people can see our need for Jesus. And that is so much of a greater testimony than some person who is a Christian that just looks like they have it all together. Because you can see not just a theoretical need for God in our lives, but a real tangible, day-by-day trusting Him kind of need.
You know what I'm thinking about as you're talking is Paul and his predicament in that Philippians was his chains.
Yeah.
But the fact that in his chains, the gospel moved forward. And in his chains and the way that he stewarded his trial, people's faith was moved forward. In fact, to such a degree, you know, the hand of
yes.
God is so on him that some even got jealous of him in his chains. But he's like, nevertheless, the gospel moves forward. It's amazing, I think, when you find that place in the storm with the Lord in it and you're not afraid of your weakness, all those things happen. I mean, they really do. Where others are watching, their faith has moved forward. Others are maybe jealous of the attention you're getting because they're seeing, you know, the gospel at work, and God will deal with that too. But it really stirs up all kinds of stuff. I mean, it goes to show, though, how important it is that we trust Him in this place and let our need be an okay thing, you know?
Yes, and even, you know, no one asks for a story like we've walked through.
Right.
But my husband and I, you know, from our first, you know, day of engagement, we said, you know, we want our lives to be live for the glory of God. We want our story to be something where God's grace and power can be, can shine through. What we found is it's been the most broken places in our marriage, the most broken things, whether it's us learning about how lousy of a husband and wife we are, you know, and really looking to Jesus to grow us in those roles, and from that to health stuff to us, you know, having failures as parents. You know, it's any time that we are willing to be honest about our weakness, that's when God is able to really shine through that. And so we've always wanted our marriage to be used for His glory. I think that we didn't envision that it would be this way. But, man, being vulnerable about your need for Jesus, I think that's the greatest testimony of God at work in your life.
Boy, that's so good. Let's listen to the song, Give You Faith, off of Laura's album, Open Hands.
I see your tiny face, your fingers wrapped in mine. I wonder how I'll raise this precious gift of life. I'd give you all my money, but you can't buy what you need. I'd show you all. Give you faith.
gives grace enough for us. And though I won't be perfect, I'll teach you to trust. I wanna give you
away. More with Laura's story in a moment.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Live the Promise.
The raindrops, what if your healing comes through tears? And what if a thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? And what if trials of this life, your mercy's in disguise?
Welcome back. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Well, it's another Artist Corner, this time with Laura Story. We're listening to songs from her new album, as well as drawing from content from her book, When God Doesn't Fix It. So we've got time for one more song. Tell us, if you would, about Death Was Arrested.
Oh, yeah. This is a song written by some friends of mine in Atlanta. I actually didn't write this one. Every now and then on a record, there'll be a song that... You know, usually it's mostly the songs that I've written, but there'll be a song that we've been singing in our church that's just meant a lot to our church or meant a lot to me personally. And Death Was Arrested was a song that my staff team, we decided we'd use for Easter one year, just because it's such a great anthem of the victory, you know, that Jesus had on the cross. And I had been studying the book of Ephesians at the time, where it talks about, you know, we were dead in our sin and trespasses. And it wasn't that we were sick. It wasn't that we were tired and needed a little bit of help. We were dead and needed a resurrection. And the fact that what Jesus did on the cross put death to death. Like, he literally killed death. And the fact that is... the power, you know, the same power that rose Jesus from the grave on that Easter, that very first Easter morning, is the power that we have alive in us today. And just remembering that the gospel isn't just this thing that happened to us, that, you know, that we learned and accepted that day we became a Christian, but it's the very power that God is working in and through us every day.
Boy, so good. Let's listen to Death Was Arrested.
Alone in my sorrow and dead in my sin, lost without hope with no place to begin. Your love made a way to let mercy come in. When death was arrested,
existed and my life began. Ash was redeemed, only beauty remains. My orphan heart was given a name. My morning grew quiet, my feet rose to dance.
Another great song by Laura Story. So blessed to have her in studio with us. She's released a new album titled Open Hands, but I also want you to check out her book, When God Doesn't Fix It, Lessons You Never Wanted to Learn, Truths You Can't Live Without. I can't thank you enough for being honest with your story and stewarding it the way that you have, because you're giving other people permission to walk through their story, deal with their broken hearts, and giving God room and access to bring some healing there, you know? So thank you for that. It's been really great.
I'll tell you, that's the greatest goal that we have, isn't just that people would hear my story or my husband's story and go, oh, that's so sweet how God's used that. Mm. It's no. It's God longing to use the most broken parts of all of our lives. Anyone that has a hard story, I meet so many people that say, oh, God couldn't use me because of this in my past, or God couldn't use me because I have this disability. And I think a lot of, that's what makes our story so accessible to people, is because it does involve disability. And for me, anyone that knows me, I'm I didn't grow up singing. I wasn't a very likely candidate to be used by God. And I always want to be as honest as I can about just whether it's my inadequacies or insecurities, because I want people to try to imagine that there's nobody who is ineligible to be used by God. And honestly, the more insecure we are, the more ill-equipped we feel, all the more room for God's grace to come in and do an amazing work that only He gets credit for.
Amen. Once we get ready to wrap here, I'm wondering, Laura, if you would pray for that person who's maybe just reeling, maybe like you were in the very beginning stages of your husband's diagnosis. Wondering if you would pray prayer for that person today.
Yeah. Well, Father God, we do look to you for hope. For so many people who are in the midst of hard situations, we pray for relief for the pain. We pray for comfort in the midst of the sorrow. But more than anything, Lord, we don't look to you in hopes that you will change our situation and our circumstances. We look to you for hope in the midst of our circumstance and our situation. We do pray for relief from hardship, God, but more than anything, we want to know you in the hard place, God. That we would have a joy and a peace that's unshakable. That we would endure the storm and trust you every step of the way. We pray it all in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Dear Laura, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks so much, guys. This has been such a treat to be here.
You are such a dolly. The title of her album, that was a compliment, Dolly. She's such a dolly.
Oh, I love it.
Thank you.
I'm from the South.
Okay,
that's definitely
then.
A compliment.
Totally works. Title of her album, again, is Open Hands. Title of her book is When God Doesn't Fix It. You've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. In just a bit, you'll find a podcast of today's program up on our website at myfaithradio.com. Remember this. The Lord wants you to last long and finish strong, and He is the one who keeps you strong to the end. Have a great day. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Live the Promise. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend. Help grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player, and then never miss a show.